Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the real challenges facing Arizonans. Good morning, folks. Welcome to Fact-Based Radio. This is Steve Williamson. Right. Sitting across from me is my beloved co-host.
Mike Cosentino is right here and with the reasonable alternative to the National Monument this morning. Democratic Perspective likes to think. No, we are. We are the reasonable alternative. We're the voice of reason in the Verde Valley right here, ladies and gentlemen, on CASM Radio.
And Gary and LeMaster, silent Gary.
Silent Gary.
Producer,
good morning.
Extraordinaire. So we wanted to talk about the National Monument.
This has got people all riled up, doesn't it?
You know, I came back from abroad, and somebody said, you should look at this on Facebook. And, see, KSB is Keep Sedona Beautiful. The organization has been here since the 1970s. Sedona is sort of unique, and KSB is unique. In other words, KSB is a purely local organization. It's not a chapter like a Sierra Club chapter. It's something that grew out organically from Sedona. And before Sedona was incorporated, I think in 1988, they had a tremendous amount of influence in prohibiting billboards, and they've always tried to keep the architecture here beautiful, so forth and so on. A lot of that activity was taken over by the city when the city was incorporated, or it was taken over by the community association in the village of Oak Creek. So KSB has been around a long time. When I first met those folks, a good half of them that I met were Republicans. They even had, as I mentioned, I think once before, they had a little newsletter with a picture of a green elephant on top. It was really sort of cute. And they were moderate Republicans. A lot of them still are. It's a moderate organization that spends almost all of its time in trying to deepen appreciation of the area, keep the skies clear, keep the night sky clear, appreciate native plants, encourage good architecture, but they also try to protect the environment. And they occasionally, every few years, they get into a fight to preserve the environment. And it's usually taken the form of a national scenic area. They've done it at least three times. They put it forward. Actually got a majority of the vote, I think, the last time in the House, but it would take a super majority to get it passed. It's something that they've done, and it gets them into controversy.
And had the city council's backing for the
It was unanimous for the right. National Scenic Area. All right. Here's what's happened. In the old days, national monuments had support generally by both parties, right? But we've seen the situation get more and more gummed up in Congress. Nothing seems to get through. There has not been a new wilderness area declared in the United States since 2009. The reason is that even when most Republicans and most Democrats, or there's a huge bipartisan support for it, so there's plenty of votes to pass a Wilderness Act in the House, it still doesn't happen. It still doesn't happen. It completely shut down the ability to protect land. So, as the ability of to protect lands over the last few decades, and it got worse in 2009, as that happened, the presidents have relied more and more on declaring national monuments as the only way they can act to protect lands. And so that's what a national monument is. So there's national monuments. There's about 120 of them, Gary.
117, to be exact.
117, to be exact. We're here exact here on that. And some of them are really small. You know, they'll be like George Washington's house.
Yeah.
Or some of them are very, very large.
And that's why I think what a lot of people think about when they think about national monument, they don't think about 160,000 acres.
But what's happened is that there are all different kinds of national monuments. And they're, in the old days, before 1924, they were all managed by the National Park Service, right? In 1924, they split management, I think, with the BLM for one thing. When Jimmy Carter got into office, he declared two national monuments in Alaska, and they were managed by the BLM. And then when Bill Clinton becomes into office, almost from then on, when there is a public group like the Department of Interior, like the BLM or the National Forest Service, when these folks have been managing the land, it's not turned over to the Park Service. Fact is, of large monuments since Bill Clinton started doing it, none of them have gone from, all of them have been run either by the Forest Service or by BLM. So when you hear all this stuff about the Park Service is taking them, and I had this discussion with this guy on Facebook, and I said, it is going to be the Forest Service. Wait till you see the proposal, and they're going to propose that the Forest Service run it, because this is what happens just basically all the time. And what I got was, well, it could be different. It could be the Park Service, no matter, even if you, nothing. So, it's very hard to deal with people who, I call it a rabbit hole of facts and information. So when you say one thing and they find out they're wrong, then they just come back with something else.
Well, they come up with a worst-case scenario.
Worst-case scenario after worst-case scenario.
Well, as a preface to this, everything, it seems like everything on the anti-national monument side is fear-based.
It is.
It could happen. There is this... there's three things I want to say. It's fear-based. All of the things which we're going to talk about. We got a whole list here about,
we're going to examine
people can't drive in and out and all this other good stuff, which is just plain wrong. But it's also anti-O'Halloran. O'Halloran just became a Democrat. And I believe that because he was the KSB spokesman for it, a lot of the lingering, even after he has stepped down and doesn't want to be spokesman anymore, they're not going to let him off because they want to attack Tom O'Halloran.
Don't forget that part of it is the Obama derangement syndrome.
Yeah. Derangement syndrome.
So what I think happened...
OBS?
To me, I come back and I find out... See, normally, folks, the battle here over national monuments and national scenic areas is between Keep Sedona Beautiful and the conservationists and the Realtors Association. And the Realtors Association recruits as many people from their tribe in the Chamber of Commerce as they can. Normally the support for the National Scenic Areas has been sort of overwhelming. Most people who know anything about it are in favor of it. This time something different happened. When I got back from Spain, I saw this stuff, and it's exactly what Mike and Gary saying. It's just fear-based stuff, and improbabilities after improbabilities. And so you can say, well, I mean, find me a large national monument since the Clinton time that has been managed by the Park Service. Park Service is managing small things like the Pullman facility in Chicago and so forth, things that weren't managed by other federal agencies. So, and you get back what I was talking about earlier. Say, well, it could be the Park Service; it'll be handover. And then I was on there, and some of them said, they could, they have guns and they could grow up with machine guns and arrest your kid while it's walking in the national forest or the monument.
Right.
Well, there's, I have to say, we've done programs on federal agencies and police, and, everybody's got big guns and stuff. But what they were talking about was the National Park Service police that protect Washington, D.C., the vital things in there. So there's this utter confusion. And I guess what appalled me most, guys, was that people talking, they heard National Monument and they jumped to all these absolutely extreme and crazy conclusions that are not based on facts. They're going to ban jeeps. They're going to ban dogs. They're going to, and they cherry pick things that happen at one national monument or another and put them all together in a thing of fear. So you had a different group of people. Some of those are new age people. They're running commercial tours in the national forest, and they're not paying any fees or getting permission for the national. They don't want any more control. They don't want any more protection for the area because what they're doing is iffy. The truth is that you could easily write in to the National Monument document that says small group tours based on metaphysical and spiritual things can be held, They'll self-report once a year. They'll pay $5 a person for each person they take into the forest. They'll leave the forest exactly as they came. So if they make a prayer circle or something, they just take it down when they leave. That's easy to put in. There's no reason for all this fear. Okay, so that was group one, guys. And then group two, the Tea Party hit this. And that's what Gary and Mike are talking about. Furious, nasty
federal
stuff.
Overreach.
Yes, federal overreach.
Under Obama.
Obama.
It never was a fear under Bush or Reagan
That's right.
Or anyone else.
It turns to Obama very quickly. They start attacking Obama. So the Tea Party has gone all in, and they brought a tremendous amount of money from the outside, and they have some money people. So you have the, I call them more moderate opponents of the monument, and then you have the Tea Partiers. And the Tea Partiers are having big meetings, and I know that people who've attended them found them sort of scary, violent. Somebody said they really were close to being fascist in the tone that they heard there. The other people are much more moderate, but they're all opposed to the monument.
Well, if you look at the stakeholders, you know, which is the first thing I tried to do is, you know, who's against it and why. You have ranchers who are against it because they may, you know, their fear is they won't be able to graze their cattle on government lands at bargain prices.
For bargain prices.
Very, very exactly. Bargain prices.
You have tour companies that are afraid they're going to be, you know, kept off of the lands, the public lands. You have realtors who, you know, fear they won't be able to sell every inch of the Red Rocks.
Right. See, one reason that KSB, just to Gary, one of the reasons that Keep Sedona Beautiful wants to have the monument, and each of the monuments has a sort of like a different constitution forbidding and allowing different things. So if you look at a dozen monuments and you combine pieces of them, you get it. But all the grazing rights, I don't know of a monument where the grazing rights have not been included recently. In other words, they're grandfathered in. That, for some ranchers, is not enough because they want them permanently grandfathered in no matter what happens. So no matter how much damage to the range or whatever, they want to keep the at the current level. And what happens is the allotments come up every, I don't know, 20 years or so, and so they might be a problem. So a lot of the opposition from ranchers and a lot of the talk is also just fear-based, the same kind of fear-based stuff, Gary.
And you have the cities that at least one in particular that's afraid that it won't be able to annex more land to increase its tax base. You know, you have that going on. You have the recreationalists that want to be able to take their ATV anywhere they damn well please instead of staying on a motorized, right, you know, road.
So if we explain and you know, KSB, Keep Sedona Beautiful, put a poll thing about their proposal, a full page ad in the newspaper. If you look at it, all these worries are answered. But you could say, well, the grazing rights are in there, but maybe Obama will change and take the grazing rights out.
That's right.
I don't know the law on this. What I see is a pattern pretty much everywhere is they never remove grazing rights. It doesn't happen. And they're grandfathering water rights.
There's raising the price, too. That's what they're more afraid of, or at least as afraid of. Even if they allow grazing rights, they're going to raise the price and cut into the, you know, ranching is a difficult way to make a living, and anything that cuts into profits and any business is going to be resisted strongly.
If you're from Oklahoma or Texas, where I'm from, and you raise cattle, and I come from cattle country in Oklahoma, if you raise cattle, you raise cattle on your land that you own. Or you go to the guy next door who's tired of raising cattle, and you lease his land. You don't get semi-free public land to raise your cattle on. You pay for what you get. If you want water, you know, the guy's got a pond on his land. Well, that's part of the price that you pay to raise your cattle on there.
Right.
So that's how it works. I mean, it's really very simple. But when the West was settled, there were not a lot of rules. And originally the Forest Service was tremendously interested in forestry, timber production, grazing, mining. They encouraged all these things.
Well, the way to get support for the Forest Service was to let the public use the land, and then the public happened to be cattle ranchers and railroaders. And
okay, so then
like
you
that.
End up with somebody like Cliven Bundy. It turns out he's only owned the land since the 1950s. But suppose instead of that, he had been there for two or three generations.
And how much land does he actually own? Because he's
almost nothing.
He was angry about grazing, you know, rights, having to pay for grazing
rights
on our public land.
Yes, so. So that's sort of how it works. And so as people began to move west, cities were established. By the 1870s, there are problems. Most people don't know this. It's not just the buffalo that are dying out. It's wildlife all over the country is being hunted to extinction. And that's when you form the National Wildlife Fish and Game Service. The states all form fish and game services to try to produce and protect game for further hunting. So by the 1870s, just after the Civil War, 1880s, 1890s, the deterioration of the range, the overgrazing. For example, we have the description of early Mormon settlers in the Escalante area, and they say that the grass is so high that you can't see sheep if they're in a field. Yeah. And you can look at the range now, and what the ranchers will say, well, yeah, it was overgrazed in the early days, but we're doing everything just right now.
Well, the new thing is to say, without our grazing, we're going to have this large growth of vegetation that's going to be a problem when it comes to wildfires. So it's, never mind that the grazing despoils the water and the riparian lands and causes problems for
I think what Gary's saying is really true. So I did a lot of backcountry hiking up at Escalante in the Grand Staircase area. Cattle are still all over the place. Some of the streams are completely polluted with cattle droppings and have been churned into mud. Beautiful little crystal streams turned into mud.
The wetlands have been damaged.
I would say to KSB, to keep Sedona beautiful, that a national monument is not necessarily as protective as a lot of people think. And so a lot of the fear-based stuff is just sort of nonsense.
I want to talk about the concept that you got two groups, that have the same goal. That everybody wants to protect. You have more than two groups. You have lots of groups. Coming together, but the anti-national monument people supposedly want to preserve the land. KSB is, had it as its
one
mantra.
One group, Mike. The other group is really, if you apparently the Tea Party people want to have forestry. They want to have mining if there is any mining available. They want to have development. They're very, very sad that there isn't development. The other group is more moderate, yes.
Well, even the realtors must have to realize that they're one of the basis for the land values around here is the beauty of the area.
Right.
Trash it. I mean, unless I don't know how this works, that you sell it and then you move on to another area.
I think they have an axiom, which is that I was told by a realtor, person who's very high in the Realtors Association, that she said was they have an axiom that no land should get out of being able to be sold privately. They're against every single thing that locks the public control of land or public ownership of land. They want it.
Even though that's the very reason why people will move to a place.
What keeps Sedona beautiful is yes.
Okay.
Yes. So
okay.
Keep Sedona beautiful. So even though, look, if this became a national monument around Sedona, land prices and house prices are going to go up.
Yeah.
That's bad if you want to move in. It's good if you own something now. It's sort of an axiom of them. And see, there's two kinds of money. There's if you can get a land trade, and there have been land trades here and gifts of land by the National Forest that establish big chunks of Sedona, then there's a fortune to be made. If you're selling and reselling houses, it's much more, there's not nearly as the kind of markup or profit.
Right,
like it's a mature industry. So what realtors have to accept is this is a mature industry. They're not going to get any land trades.
When you sell a house, you get a commission, you know, 3 to 6%.
Yes.
If you subdivide, if you get, you know, virgin land and subdivide it, and, you know, then you can buy it for, you know, $500 an acre, and you can sell it for $250,000 for a 5-acre plot.
Yeah, those are a little extreme, but that's I get the idea.
What?
So I'm getting the feeling that this group, I want to say this, that this group sitting around the microphones this morning are in favor of the national monument.
Sure.
Right.
I'm in favor of protection, whether it's a national monument.
Now, the particular details of the monument, the idea, almost all the information being said against the monument is false. It's just all nonsense. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. People are bringing up, the Tea Party people are bringing up NEPA. NEPA will control the city of Sedona.
NEPA.
NEPA is the, well, let me get it right. The National Environmental Protection Act. One of their documents said it was passed January 1st. Well, it was passed January 1st, I think, in 1970.
Yeah.
It was passed unanimously by the Senate, if I remember correctly, and almost unanimously by the House of Representatives. NEPA is the law that protects people from the consequences of industrial things. So my example is, if you want to build a giant chicken plucking plant where the trout farm is, you're going to have to do a NEPA study. You're going to have to say, well, we're not going to dump the chicken leavings in the river. And you have to do an impact statement.
People forget that the EPA and NEPA were created when the Cuyahoga River in Cleveland caught on fire for the 13th time. and when we had the Love Canal, which was killing people, that, you know, a developer had filled in a canal that had been a dump site of chemicals and sold homes on it, and the people who bought those homes were all dying of cancer.
Yeah, it's a shadow side
to capitalism. If you have a steel factory and it's polluting, you're externalizing costs onto the public. If you create an area that has to be cleaned up that we pay for rather than you pay for, and I think even the Superfund sites, I think only 70% of them are even contributed to cleanup by the people who created them. So what you have in development is this process of externalizing. So I have a factory, I put the pollutants in the river. That saves me a whole bunch of money if I have to clean it up. And the whole country was like that. And what NEPA did was say, you have to look at the environmental impact of your thing. And NEPA is very complicated. So if you're in the middle of a national forest and you're going to build a house, you'll probably be exempt from doing a NEPA study. If you're going to build an amusement park in the middle of your inholding in a national forest or national monument, you're going to have to do a NEPA study.
One of the mantras of the Tea Party is nothing will change. Talk about that. Nothing will change if we get a national monument.
What happens with the national monument is the way Keep Sedona Beautiful has structured this agreement. The management, so there's basically two levels of this, if I can explain it. There's one level which are the primary functions of the plan. That's in the proclamation of a national monument. So if the national monument says
no land trades,
then you have to have an act of Congress to have land trades. If it says protect antiquities, the Forest Service, whoever manages it, has to make that a priority in their plans. That's the law. Almost everything else is done in these management plans, and they can be very different for very different monuments. Some of them have a lot of changes, and some of them have none. I couldn't find any one of the recent monuments that took grazing rights away. If you do take grazing rights away from somebody, you do have to pay for them. You can't just grab them. You have to, if you reduce grazing. So suppose you have an area that's just damaged. The graze is damaged. The water is declining because of various things. you still have to pay, you know, for all the improvements the ranchers have made, which is, a, say, a stock pond or what we call a tank out here. And you have to pay for whatever you're doing. It's a very complicated procedure. So when Keep Sedona Beautiful lists the top priorities of the monument, those become law. Everything like whether you can walk your dog, whether Jeep companies, it can be written into not the primary part of it, but into the management plan. KSB, it looks to me like, is writing a lot of stuff into the top of the proclamation.
And ironically, the opposition is using the expressly written, complicated document against the people who did it.
If it takes
them longer than 20 seconds to read, then it's got to be bad because there's got to be lots of bad stuff hidden. Let's take a look,
and I believe this is Agua Fria, but they're almost all the same. Uses expressly authorized by the proclamation. Disposal of land by exchange to further protective purposes of the monument. So almost all the monuments I looked at have this rule that you can exchange pieces of the monument for more valuable non-pieces. And what the Keep Sedona Beautiful wouldn't allow this. I think they would just freeze that. And it says the second one authorized is exercise of valid existing rights. That's water rights, that's grazing rights, that's access on roads and stuff. That's expressly authorized by the proclamation. Grazing laws, expressly authorized. Uses implicitly authorized by the proclamation. Motorized or mechanical mechanized vehicles on designated roads, hunting and fishing, recreation, rights of way, scientific research, access to inholdings or other valid existing interests. So it doesn't change. Most of the proclamations don't change.
Right. There's still going to be whatever hunting restrictions are enforced.
Right. It would be exactly
the same. You would still have hunting restrictions enforced.
It would be the same. So,
by fishing game.
And then you have, and each of these monuments has something like this, uses expressly prohibited by the proclamation. Entry, location, selection, sale, leasing, and other disposition under the public lands law. You can't sell the monument. You can't sell pieces of the monument to somebody. Location, entry, and patent under mining laws. The proclamation that Keep Sedona had would I don't know of anything of valuable mining more than a gravel pit or something, but they tend to ban mining, further mining. Now, if you have a mine, they don't ban that. That's grandfathered in. But further mining and disposition of mineral and geothermal leasing laws. Accepts in exchange, blah, blah, blah. Okay. So what that means is you can't do a lot of new exploration. And folks, if you've seen where people are exploring, they tear up stuff to get, just to even just explore it. It tears up the area. And then the other thing prohibited generally in all these places is off-road, motorized, mechanized vehicle use, except in emergency and for administrative purposes. And in Arizona, there's an exception for retrieving game. And so you can take your ATV and go get your elk, even if you have to go cross-country here.
All right, so stepping back one more time.
Yes, sir.
Yes, and seeing that the purpose of the National Monument is to preserve the beauty of Sedona. But one of the reasons we're all here is somehow or another tied to the beauty of the area. And so both sides of the issue say that they want to preserve the land, but one side is lying, is what we're doing.
Well, I don't know if I'd go there. You know, it's like, is it murder or is it, you know, reckless disregard of something? So it's reckless disregard of the truth. They haven't bothered to do the research. Now they're beginning to do research, and so they finally figured out there's a management plan, which they didn't. All the argument, an awful lot of the arguments are phony, and these are circulating not among opponents but among everybody. One of them was, there's this terrible situation in Colorado where there's this national monument, and they won't allow bicycles, mountain biking, and the community next to it is hurting. Well, I looked it up. Colorado National Monument, been around for 100 years this year. They have a 23-mile road and another 10 miles of extension that you can ride a bicycle on anytime you want. the area around Fruta is becoming the new Moab or new Sedona in terms of mountain biking. So there's mountain biking all over the area. The controversy had nothing to do with the original proclamation of the monument, which was 100 years ago. The superintendent of the monument did not want a commercial bicycle race going through the circular 23-mile road. That's what it was about. And did it hurt them economically? I don't know, but it's her decision. And she based it on the fact that it'd be very disruptive. So you have a bicycle race. What about the people camped there? What about the people who want to ride their own bicycles? So forth and so on. They have sort of not bicycle races, but bicycle tours of 2,000 bikes at a time. So the story about the damage is sort of nonsense. It's not in the rules of the monument. It's in a superintendent's decision. Right. And one Democratic, I think, senator and one Democratic Republican senator both asked them to let them have the bicycle race. That's what that was about.
Right.
Somebody else said that there's a problem with... It's hard to separate, Mike, worry about water rights from real water rights. When I looked into national monuments and water rights, there's almost nothing on the internet about it. The way national monuments work is if we have a national monument, say we have the Oak Creek National Monument, and the purpose of the Oak Creek National Monument is to protect Apache trout. Okay, Apache trout or native trout, let's pretend they're endangered species or whatever. If the monument says its purpose is to protect the trout, right, then you can't take so much water out of Oak Creek that the trout die, right?
Right.
But it doesn't mean, so monuments, the focus of monuments on water rights is only the rules that the monument is set up. So Dinosaur National Monument does not have the right to take water for boating, right? They have the right to take water to protect the species, but not for boating. So if you look at the literature, folks, there's a tremendous amount of anti-governmental stuff out there. But if you look at the legal cases, there's almost nothing about water rights. There are, I couldn't find a case where NEPA had almost any impact at all on any national monument. It just doesn't really happen.
Can I read from the proposal for the National Monument in Sedona? The monument shall not alter the valid water rights of any party, including the federal government.
So it's in the proposal.
Yeah.
It's pretty clear.
Yeah. Well, they've made a very detailed proposal. And what I think they have to do is come back with a little bit more general, what is the purpose of it. So, okay, the things that are expressly forbidden are expressly forbidden. Everything else becomes a management plan or in the details of the proposal.
Right.
These things are flexible. I mean, the monuments declared, some of them are 100 years old, there were no bicycles running around anywhere. There were no cars. Each monument has different problems. Ironwood National Monument down by Phoenix, their problem is, it's not honey. They're not trying to ban honey. It's shooting. And people are going down there and shooting up the saguaro cactus.
Yeah.
So they want to control where people do recreational shooting. They want to confine it to areas. There's another park down in the same thing where they have a recreational shooting area where they're just eliminating recreational shooting to one part. Otherwise, you have recreational shooting is legal in almost all parts of national forests, and then also for example, they're not doing it in the ban on the monument. You could say recreational shooting can only take place in organized or developed areas.
That was one of the big concerns of a caller that I had. A caller asked, the first place he went was shooting, and I'm sure what he was referring to or was thinking about was the situation down in Ironwood.
It basically never affects honey.
But yes, shooting in designated areas.
It does affect shooting, and I would like guys confined to regulated areas, because I don't like wandering around the forest and people blasting away.
And
but
even
that's personal.
And even gun advocates usually like shooting in designated areas.
They do.
So this is bottom line. Is this going to happen? We got these political geniuses here sitting here at the microphones.
Well,
is Is this going to happen? Well, how does
I can't answer that, Mike. Are the anti-people going to win? I think they're way behind the curve, and I know that upset.
They are the pro people, the KSB.
The pro people are behind the curve. Okay. There is a public meetings by Democrats of the Red Rock, and what they're doing is they're supporting Keep Sedona's Beautiful. There's a meeting on Tuesday, September 15th at 5:30 p.m. at the Village of Oak Creek Center.
That's tomorrow.
On 690 Bell Rock Boulevard in the Village of Oak Creek. It's on the golf course, folks. Many of you have been there. So it says, if you've been listening to The Buzz, you know that the Tea Parties and the moneyed allies have been going all out to derail the effort to preserve the land we love. So if you want to hear the pro side of a national monument, this is a public meeting where you can hear the other side of it. The anti side has been all over the place. You see, the way this works is this. It's not specific. So I'm in the oil and gas industry. And if you look, or I'm in the uranium mining industry. And so my opposition to the Grand Canyon Watershed National Monument is because I want to do some uranium mining. I have to come up with other reasons. Yeah. But that's the reason. Yeah. There's like the realtors have a general rule. The oil, gas, and uranium mining, the coal mining, fight regulations everywhere, even if they don't plan to do drilling there. The money comes in to fight these things. They have elaborate, what do you call them? They have research groups who are going, and one of them is, I think it's called Stratus or something like that. It looks at every or a whole bunch of national monuments in the West, and it tells you the potential oil and gas, coal and uranium mining in the monument, and also I thought this was really cute, the amount of photoelectric, in other words, solar energy. So if you paved over the monument with solar panels, you'd generate. But you know, they're most of the fights, they're really after making money out of the national forest, and so they fight ferociously. And sort of what seems irrationally. It's like if you say, it's preventative. It's preventative. It's escalating up to a level that's preventative that may have no effect on the particular argument or the particular place. Nope. And so that's what you see. And the arguments are all the same, right, Mike? They're always federal overreach, even though it's, of course, federal land. It's always states' rights. It's always local control.
Well, I kind of like the idea about – I'm sorry. I like the idea about that all of this land is held in trust for the people.
Yes.
You know, whether it's BLM, Forest Service, a National State Land Trust, or a U.S. Land Trust – Federal Land Trust. This is all held for the people, and then these kinds of issues, these kinds of discussions, are exactly what should happen.
Okay. So federal land,
when you wanted to figure out how to manage those public lands,
correct. The federal lands are owned by the whole people of the United States. They're held in trust by the government of the United States for the whole American people. Legally, you know, if you live in New York, you have just as much right to a say in this stuff. People ask me if you can sign the petitions. I said you can sign the petitions for either monument or opposing it or favoring it. It has no legal standing. You have to be an American. You don't even have to be American to sign these petitions. They don't have legal standing. They're political struggle.
Are the anti-monument people gathering signatures?
Yeah, they are. So,
I'd just like to say, if you know, there's all of these what ifs and all these fears. Most of I was just rereading the document. Most of these things are specifically addressed in the document.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe that, you should read the document. You can find it at redrocknationalmonument.org.
But Gary,
it's very simple and it's very clearly delineated.
But it could happen.
But it could happen.
Obama could invade Arizona.
He could change the thing. So, before they said it was all terrible, and then when they saw the document, that caused them some problems. So then they said, well, it could, just what Gary's saying, it could, something could happen. They could when they do this ban honey. Well, they haven't done it anywhere, so in any of the new monuments, so why would they there? Water rights, not a problem as far as I can see in any of the new monuments in the last 40 years.
I think the biggest
NEPA, there's really no... I'm looking at legal cases.
Right.
The number of legal cases are a handful, and they don't really amount to much. So,
lightning could strike you tomorrow,
right.
but it's unlikely to happen. The same is true with the monument.
We've already talked about the realtors, but the last meeting that I was aware of at the church, there was more realtors speaking. Esther Talbot and Volkman and a few others. So I think the idea of taking land out of the commercial, being able to buy and sell it, is probably the driving force.
Now, understand, folks, that in all the past battles, there have been lots of realtors who don't support what the Realtor Association is doing. And the Realtor Association has sent people to Washington to testify against the National Scenic Areas. Let's take this list, if we got a little bit of time here. There is an objection, I guess. The National Monument designation attract more visitors. Sedona is already saturated with more visitors than the roads can handle, especially on 179 or Oak Creek Canyon. If it is declared a national monument, what happens is over time it'll become more of a destination. When I worked in the tourist industry for 10 years, an awful lot of people come to Sedona as an afterthought. Take a look at the amount of traffic on 179 on the weekends and the amount of traffic the rest of the week. People on vacation arrive here all during different days of the week. People coming up from Phoenix arrive here on Saturday.
And we don't want their money, do we?
No.
We wouldn't want any more tourism because that would be too much money for
so
the area.
Probably having a national monument will bring more tourism here. More people will stay here longer because it'll sound like there's something more here. There won't be as many people or a higher percentage passing through. So I think they're going to do a traffic study, and that'll tell us the difference between the amount of people on the roads on Saturdays and Sundays and the amount of people on the roads during the week, and that'll give you a pretty good estimate of who's here coming up for the weekend. I'm not against that. I think that's great. But that's why there's a lot of traffic jammed. It's really weekend traffic on the road. So we don't know the impact of a national monument designation on the number of people coming. It's got to be positive sooner or later. Sedona is going to end up on the international destination list, folks, sooner or later. The European tour companies have sort of taken Sedona off. People go to the Grand, but sooner or later it's going to be on it and there are going to be more people coming here. The whole line, if you look at it, is more and more people visiting Sedona. The solution to traffic problems is another issue about coming in from West Sedona. Yeah, and staying in West Sedona. The solution to fire things, I mean, the editorial in the paper about the monument doesn't solve the fire problem. There's no local solution to the fire problem. Best thing people in Sedona can do is support a strong fire department. The Forest Service has their firefighting plans. The better the plan, the better protection. But the real solution to fighting fires has to be a national commitment of money to fighting fires. Gary.
I just wanted to put in a plug for our sponsor, Democrats of the Red Rock. Red Rocks has a breakfast this coming Thursday morning, September 17th at 8 o'clock. $12 fee at the door, and the meeting, or the focus of the meeting, is a talk about the activities of the Oak Creek watershed, which is kind of apropos to this morning's conversation.
Who's the speaker? They have a speaker?
We have a speaker. I need to look it up.
Okay. But they have a speaker.
They have a speaker. It's Tally Siegel. Assistant with the Oak Creek Watershed Council.
2 weeks, we're going to have a program with a speaker on the Mexican gray wolf. And
VVID.org is where you can hear this and all our shows. Thank you.
Been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.